This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Race to savings at Menards and start updating your home today. We have what you need to give your bathroom a fresh, updated look. Shop Menards' great selection of bathroom products from American Standard. No matter the size of your bathroom, American Standard offers a superior line of toilets, faucets, sinks, and bathtubs. Complete your bathroom update today with American Standard. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Make It Plain here on BlackPressUSA.com. And we are here with a very esteemed guest joining myself and Black Press USA's and NNPA's brand new senior White House correspondent and Washington Bureau Chief, Dr. April Ryan. Here with us is the esteemed congressman from the great state of Texas, who is not playing, who is wasting no time, who has filed articles of impeachment, Congressman Al Green. My brother, how are you?
Well, dear brother and dear sister, I am better than I deserve. Now, just a minor adjustment. I have said I will bring articles of impeachment. I have not quite filed them just yet. Quite frankly, I have 4 years to file them, but I assure you it will be done well within the 4-year time frame.
But we're about 20 days in, and you're already talking impeachment.
Yes.
Last time, the first term, how long did it take you to file? How long did it take you to file during the first term?
I think this is a bit sooner than the first time. And I can give, I'll give you a rationale. The rationale is this. You have to address impeachable behavior when you first see it. You don't wait until some time later on. And also because I'm not a sunshine freedom fighter. I'm not a fair weather freedom fighter. Whenever the circumstance presents itself, I try to address it then and there. And if we had impeached this president with those first articles of impeachment, we might not have the problem we're having now. And I'm saying even if the Senate didn't convict him, because they had to do with Mr. Comey, who was the head of the FBI. He fired the head of the FBI because the man was investigating and would not say publicly that the president was exonerated. Well, he now is taking on the entirety of the FBI. So sometimes you have to stop these things when they're in their infancy because they can metamorphose into something even greater.
So you filed and people were thinking that it wasn't time. They tried to pull it back from it.
Yes.
Yes, you filed. And then later on, towards the end of the administration, well, there were two that actually went through. He was impeached twice. But you began the process then, and you're also beginning the process now. We've got planes falling out of the sky. We've got concerns about, and that's something that happened, and people almost forgot about that. That was just last week. And we've got planes slicing into one of the wings or the tips of a plane, because we have not as many air traffic controllers as we should. We've got the U.S. government looking like a private business where you take the buyout and you'll get paid through September. The question is, are you really going to get paid through September? Because the person who's issuing this, we don't know much about him yet, except for his cars and his space thing and his truck that looks sometimes like a refrigerator on wheels. So forgive me for that one. But I mean, you know, it's the gray one, not the black one or the red one. No, we don't have confidence in what's going on. And is that some of the premise of your effort today to begin the process or looking into the process of filing impeachment charges against this current president, 47th President Donald John Trump?
Yes, you're correct. Last time we laid the foundation for it, and I don't want to take all of that credit. The Honorable Maxine Waters was right there. We laid the foundation for impeachment, and later on the full House impeached him. It went to trial in the Senate. But here's what I was told then, that is too early. This is always said. But Dr. King has some pearls of wisdom for us. Mm. Time is always right to do what is right. Now, this is the right thing to do. You don't let a person decide that a plane crash that he knows nothing about, they're still gathering evidence. They don't have the black boxes. They don't have the empirical evidence to get some sense of what happened, to blame it on DEI. But not just blame it, the language that he used. He talked about intelligence. People used to talk about black people not being intelligent. He talked about being complex, as though we can't comprehend things. Black people went through that. Blacks could not play quarterback because of the language that he used. So he was talking about us. He was sending signals. You know, DEI is associated with us and others too. But for the most part, us, black people. So I found that quite offensive. But I also found other things offensive. To eliminate the Department of Education.
Yes.
My mother could barely read. My father could not read. But they knew the value of an education.
Yes.
And they knew that this would be the one thing that their child could have that could get him to a different station in life. I remember, I'll share this brief vignette with you. I was at work with my father, and the people called him secretary. And I said, why are they calling you secretary? He said, because I can't read and write, and they're making fun of me. Well, that hurts. Every boy wants to think his father's Superman, not necessarily with a white face, but Superman. And so I said, well, why do you do that? And I'll never forget. He told me, because I want you to be. It's wonderful that the son of a secretary can stand in the well of the Senate or the House of Representatives and read and write an impeachment article for the President of the United States of America.
That's powerful. That really moves me. And those are the kind of stories, again, when you say about the Department of Education, ban our books, those are the kind of stories they don't want us to know so we can have pride in ourselves and rise higher. And my thing, Congressman Green, is that the narrative is that we're losers, but that's not the narrative. The reason why the fight back against DEI, which we seem to be the face of, but we're not just that, just DEI, the spectrum is larger, is the fact that we've won so much. And they want to reverse the course of the winning to make us
feel back the clock.
Yes, right, exactly. Because we're starting to find out when that rollback was before Brown v. Board, the 1850s. You know, we're hearing about those civil rights laws that were put in place back in the 1800s. But and you said something that we need to really stress. DEI is not just these three people here that you see ground faces. DEI are women who are pregnant. It's the disabled. It's so many other groups that are considered disadvantaged. So don't believe, okay, well, because it's for black people, I'm not going to fight that fight, but it's going to be you next day. Because if you're disabled, if something happens and you can't work for a moment, you're in trouble. If you're pregnant, you're in trouble because that leave that you were so happy about before, you may not get it. So I get what you're saying. But again, going back to the first term, I saw a black man concerned about this country, and people were like, he's so well-meaning, but it's too early. 20 days in, you're thinking about it. It's not too early, or is it, in your opinion?
Well, it's not too early because what the president is doing, he's doing now. I have 4 years to complete the process, but it's not too early. And let me just get back to what you were saying about DEI, because this is important.
Yes.
This is an effort to turn back the hands of time to a time before Brown versus the Board of Education. After the Brown case passed, after Thurgood Marshall was the greatest litigator that we've had, won Brown, a man named Milton Friedman, a Nobel Prize laureate, proposed vouchers to continue segregation. You now find around the country, in Louisiana and New Orleans, they've already pretty much done it. In Texas, they're passing it through the Senate and the House, the State House, to allow vouchers to be given to people so that they can take their children out of public schools. Mm-hmm. Vouchers were intended then by Milton Friedman and since that time as a means of resegregating society. Now, all of what you said is correct. And by the way, when you finished, I was tempted to say, where's the offertory? We need to take up a collection here, a reverend. But the point is, this is about turning back the hands of time.
Yeah.
When there was a time when people who are disabled didn't have to have an incline to get into a building.
Right, I remember that.
Didn't have, yes. There was a time when disabled people were thought of as not being able to do anything.
Right.
We now advocate for them being able to do what they can do and should be able to do and ought to be allowed to do. Well, if you turn back the hands of time, it will impact more than us. Yes, right. It will. But they market these things about us and they don't realize just how impactful they can be. I have to go back to football. People didn't know how good football could be until Black started playing quarterback.
Mm.
Didn't know. They're not really. They changed the game from a stand and deliver to a game where you've got to maneuver and you've got to deal with those 500-pound linemen. Nobody weighs 500 pounds. I'm exaggerating. But you got to deal with those big line persons by escaping, not depending on other line persons to save you. So my point is, this notion of rolling back the clock will have impacts that we can't imagine. I mean, that we are just a few laws away from being in chains. You change five laws.
He's right.
Just for a few laws.
So he's right.
We have reasons to fight. And we have reasons to say, this man does not deserve the honor of being the president of the United States of America if liberty and justice for all is to prevail as extolled in the pledge.
April, if I might, just to back up what the congressman's saying, and I want to get into the high crimes misdemeanors point of this, but DEI, which is a word that grew out of 2020 that we did not create, is now the substitute word
for affirmative
rights. So all of it. So that includes 1964, that includes 13, 14, and 15.
Yes.
Now, think about this now. When Pam Bondi says they're going to prosecute people who still practice DEI in the corporate world, you're saying you're going to prosecute people for upholding the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
But now, here's the thing, I want to put a pause on this for a minute. Because they're saying on the federal level, that executive order was for federal agencies, right? And it's kind of almost like the Supreme Court. When they came down with that admissions in affirmative action and admissions, that was designated for higher education. That was designated for colleges. It was for public colleges. It wasn't designated for corporate America. What they're doing is taking one thing and making broad brush strokes. That executive order was for the federal government. That was not for private sector.
But the Civil Rights Act was for everybody.
Right. But what they're expecting is that when the president makes a decision, it rolls down. Or when the Supreme Court, the conservative leaning Supreme Court, makes a decision, it rolls down into the private sector. And that's what we're saying now. Because Target doesn't have to do this. Walmart doesn't have to do this. Amazon doesn't have to do this. But they're doing it because they are listening to the president that they are embedded with now.
And they're also doing it because they have eviscerated the Voting Rights Act. They have eliminated within that act the section that would require preclearance. They've eliminated that. So now there are people who are redrawing the lines. I don't know how many Black members you're going to have in Congress now that they know that they're free to do whatever they like to with these lines. And remember this, that Voting Rights Act, we talk about these things and how we have them, but we don't talk about how we acquired them. It was written in ink, but it was signed with our blood. And when they crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge, John Lewis told me he thought he was going to die. I had to serve with him. And they beat them all the way back to the church where they started. People suffered. People died so that we could get these rights. And we have to protect them and not be afraid. Don't be a fair weather freedom fighter. Don't be a sunshine freedom fighter. Yeah. Be it all the time, every time.
Now, I just watched Selma this. I just watched Selma 2 days ago again. And I saw the character that played John Lewis. I saw C.T. Vivian. I saw Julian Bond. I saw all of them. Andy Young. And it just brought it back. What was yesterday is today. We have to curate. Each generation has to curate their rights because those laws are gone. Like you said, in 2013, the Supreme Court gutted preclearance from the Voting Rights Act. That meant that the certain southern states had to, anytime they made a change in the voting laws in their state, they had to go to the Justice Department to get approval. Now you could do, it's all the states, pretty much any red state, anything that they decide, they can do whatever they want without the Justice Department doing anything. It's gone. It's gone. And that was the 1965 Voting Rights Act. And that was Shelby B. Holder in 2013. And Shelby and Holder happened to be the Black U.S. Attorney General for Barack Obama. And he's very upset today that he was so much for voting rights that his name is on something that has pulled back the rights for us to do a privilege, a right for us.
But that's what he's saying, though, April. That's why he's saying we're one step from change, because 65 Voting Rights Act is gone.
I know.
Now we're talking about what preceded that the year before was the 64 Civil Rights Act, which was the bedrock of the 8 Americans for Disabilities, bedrock of the ERA, bedrock of all the rights, LGBTQI. But let's do this. I want to go back to the impeachment amendment.
Just say this. Don't forget the 13th Amendment.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, 13th Amendment is everything. The 14th Amendment, you take away the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments.
And you got a court that will take us back to Plessy.
And with a Black man who legitimizes it.
Yeah.
But a Black woman who's there with her calorie shells who goes against it.
Yes.
So on one hand, you got Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
On the other hand, you have a name, Ketanji Brown Jackson, with her calorie shells. And if you don't know what a calorie shell is, look it up. Google it.
So, Congressman, high crimes and misdemeanors. So, April, I don't think it's too early. Because if you see somebody committing a crime and you're like the congressman and you get him early, you're actually doing him a favor. Because the longer he stays, he's committing multiple crimes every day. So just since yesterday, he's committed more crimes. So if the congressman goes after him now, he keeps the number of charges down that the man is committing.
Let me say this though. I think in this moment, the congressman has a lot of people like, wait a minute, this time, because this has been nothing but chaos since January 20th at noon. Chaos. People are like, oh my God, you're looking everywhere. And I think what it's gonna take congressionally, this Republican congressionally, is the only time I heard them have a upsetness about Donald Trump was when he said, we're going to own Gaza. They were like, no. That's the only pushback I've heard in these 20 days. But you got a lot of people who are in line with Congressman Al Green, the people, the constituents who are upset and afraid. They are being touched by having this thing, this administration. There will be hurt for everyone will feel hurt. I'm told by a Republican who has the ear of the president. And he said it's about shrinking the government and making it leaner. But who's going to be hurt in the meantime? And they say Donald Trump is in charge because no one is going against them. And I guess Congressman Al Green is the one.
Well, that's what I would add. So, Congressman, the crimes we're talking about today at this hour, I think probably the most glaring is we're looking at the infiltration of the Treasury, people's personal records. I mean, when you start listing crimes to file something like this, that's what you're talking about, right?
Well, I think this is a good time to explain high crimes and misdemeanors.
Okay.
This is found in Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution. And I studied the Federalist Papers to get the intentionality of the writers and the persons who put this in motion, this language. But here is the de facto definition. There's a de jure definition, but here's a de facto definition. It came from Gerald Ford, who at the time was Speaker of the House. He said when he was Speaker of the House, that high crimes and misdemeanors, now this is Speaker of the House talking, is whatever Congress considers it to be at a given point in time. Whatever a majority of Congresspersons consider it to be at a given point in time. Google him and you'll find that exact language. Now, let me explain a little bit more to you about that. In 1868, Andrew Johnson said ugly things about the Congress. Ugly things. Congress impeached him for just speaking ill of Congress.
Mm.
And they can do it because you can't appeal it. It is a political question. You cannot appeal a political question. We have the last word. So these constitutional scholars can talk about all of the intentionality and all these other things. But the truth is, whatever 218 members of Congress say that it is, that's what it is. So yes, he could be impeached for what he's doing with those records, allowing someone who is untrained in the how you handle privacy and privacy laws, and then bringing in these young people. Look, I don't blame the young people. I blame those older people who have brought them into this and are using them as Pluto. They are plutocrats, and these young people are the Pluto followers of the Pluto.
Plutonians. They're Plutonians.
Yes. There's another word for them. I'm trying to be
don't
jealous.
Say it. Just let it go.
Yes, but, okay. Pluto puppet. How is that? Pluto puppet.
Let's go.
Two things. The last time you were bold enough to begin impeachment, you and I had a private conversation about how when you stand up against this man, people tend to target you. Is it happening again for you, sir?
Of course it is. And I knew before I did this what the consequences were because I've been through it before. People have talked about my heritage and, you know, things that they will do to me. I'm getting that kind of conversation, well, not conversation, but that kind of input from people that don't know me. But here is what Dr. King said.
Mm.
He said that a man, and I'm going to change that to a person who hasn't found something worth dying for isn't fit to live. You're not fit to live. Does it mean something to you that somebody suffered so that you could have this job? For me to be here, somebody had to find out what a 90-pound German Shepherd bites like. Somebody had to find out what going to jail is like. Somebody had to find out what losing a loved one to a cause. Ask Merle Evers. Ask her. Ask Mrs. King. Resurrect the ghosts of these people, and they will tell you that some things are worth dying for. So I've accepted my fate. People have told me what these people will do to me, especially after the floor speech I gave today. Where I talked about how Netanyahu and the president have stood together and talked about how they're going to perform ethnic cleansing. Mm. Ethnic cleansing. These are two superpowers. The United States is a global superpower. Israel is a regional superpower. They both have nuclear power, and they can operationalize what they say. And for the president to talk about moving the Palestinians and then say, everybody agrees, everybody likes the idea. Well, the Jordanians apparently didn't like it. The Israelis, some of them do like it. But what about the people who live right next door, Egyptians? They didn't like it. The Saudis didn't like it. And they didn't ask the Palestinians. Now, if their land and you don't talk to them, you assume that if you can get other people to agree, you can just move them. They're not cattle. And look, we've got to be concerned about this because a lack of concern for this injustice can impact us here. These are superpowers. And what they do impacts what happens in Ukraine because they're saying, well, if the United States is going to be an aggressor, why can't I be an aggressor? This is Putin.
They're trying to take Ukraine.
Look at what China can do now and say, well, if the president and the prime minister are going to take over Gaza, then I can take Taiwan. These have global implications.
Yeah,
and I understand people who want me to focus on my 9th congressional district, but I was elected to protect the country, and that's what I'm going to do.
What other options, Congressman Al Green, can Democrats exercise at this moment in the House and or the Senate to try to stop some of this? What options exist?
Well, I'm going to give you multiple, but here's a very important one. We've got to let people know that peaceful protest got us here. And people protest will protect what we have. People should be marching peacefully with impeachment signs. Send the message that impeachment is an appropriate remedy because it has been an appropriate remedy. So, yes, we can litigate, and I think we should, and people are litigating. You can see now lawsuits are being filed with reference to the privacy rights of those persons who've had their rights infringed upon by Musk and his clan of people. We can litigate, and they're doing that. And then we can try to negotiate even with the worst of people. The President of the United States will go and try to negotiate with the communists. Then we can try to negotiate. But I still say we have to move to the streets and we have to protest. Protestation, litigation, negotiation, all good. But I know what got me here. And so I'm going to go back to the street. I'm organizing a protest right now.
Where?
Houston, Texas. Houston, it's going to be an impeachment protest. Houston, Texas. And I can tell you some of the places you ought to take your protest. Take it to the Chamber of Commerce. These people in the Chamber of Commerce, they don't protect their workers. They ought to protect their workers. When someone is talking about just sending people out of the country willy-nilly, arbitrarily, capriciously, that impacts them. It impacts us. It impacts wages, yes, but it also impacts delivery. You're going to send a lot of people out that we need.
Two things real fast, and I'm going to let you go. I'm done. But first time you went to impeach Donald Trump, they said, oh, it's too early. And then the impeachment happened. There were two impeachments. Yes. He's a convicted felon, been impeached twice.
34 times.
Yes, yes. And impeached twice. And he's still president of the United States. If you do get impeachment, what is it going to do? It's just going to stay there. It's not going to be like Richard Nixon. The Republicans said, I think you need to go before you go get impeached. He's still going to stay there. He is not leaving this time.
Yes. Well, here's what it does. It galvanizes the country. We've got to give people a reason to protest. And we've got 4 years to do this. But we've got to give them a reason to protest. And that reason is to take us to a point where we can elect a Congress that will impeach. We can elect a Senate that will impeach. But you can't do that if you don't know who won't vote for impeachment. So you've got to put it out there so that we can find out where people are.
So impeachment does not remove Donald Trump, but it's a mark. As you say, it galvanizes people. But what about Elon Musk? What can be done if people are very scared and upset? The average person, Republicans, Democrats, people who work in federal government are afraid. And I've been getting calls from people in the FBI, CIA, Treasury, everywhere in federal government. You can't remove the president from impeachment. It's a stain and it's a galvanizer, as you said. But what happens to Elon Musk? What can you do? How does Elon Musk get pushed out?
First, let's just identify him. He is the epitome of the plutocracy. The plutocrats are the people that the millionaires look up to. They're the people that the millionaires get their sense of direction from. What we have to do is not be afraid to identify him as a culprit, as a person who is encroaching upon our rights. And if we identify him and say, now, the president is the person who put him in that place. I think there's the truth about this being spoken by people who are not afraid can make a difference. And you cannot be a fair weather freedom fighter. You're not a fair weather freedom fighter. I've seen I know your history. You are all the time freedom fighter. I don't contend that impeachment is going to get him out of office immediately, but I know the consequences of it because I saw what happened when we worked last time. When we impeached him, he did not get reelected.
He did not get reelected.
He was kicked out of office by Biden and Harris. When Biden and Harris kicked him out of office, I don't care what anybody says, President Biden did things that no other president has done. None. First Black woman to be vice president, Joe Biden. First Black woman on the Supreme Court, Joe Biden. Black woman at the United Nations, Joe Biden. Black man head of the Secretary of Defense, Joe Biden. Joe Biden did things no one else has done. And I would only say to you, if we follow through with the impeachment, he won't come back, but we'll galvanize people such that a lot of those underlings won't come back.
Caldwell.
they won't be here. Not Karl Rove. I'm talking about those that are elected to office. Because, yeah, he can do this and get out of Dodge. But those people, the members of the House and the Senate, some of them are going to lose their jobs because they follow through with what he is doing.
My last word, Karl Rove, who was the kingmaker for George W. Bush, and you know him well.
Yeah.
He said if indeed he's indicted, if he's impeached, this is before all this went down. He said to me, Donald Trump will be a martyr to the cause of MAGA and to those who support him. And indeed, he has become a martyr. He had 3 million more people vote for him for president this time, and he won. We had 7 million less who could have voted. That's math. That's not about the price of eggs.
Yes. And now
it's suppression too. 5 million of those people were kept from voting. But go ahead.
This is a great time to a great point to end on. I thank God for what you just said.
Mm.
And they have tried to blame us for not voting. But now let me explain. We, the Democratic Party, I've got the guts to say it. We did not deliver.
Mm.
Black people. Now, we have the vice president. We have all the folk that I named earlier. But here's what happened. We said that if you give us the House, the Senate, and the presidency, we'll give you John Lewis voting rights. Remember? We campaigned. We said,
and they didn't have.
We get the House, the Senate, and the presidency. We'll give you George Floyd justice and policing.
Exactly.
We said, if you give us the House, the Senate, and the presidency, we'll give you a raise of the minimum wage. We didn't do it. Now, someone will say, but Al Green, they couldn't do it. By the way, we passed these things in the House. Couldn't get it through the Senate. It was, look, there was cloture in the Senate, and that prevented us from doing it. My dear brother and my dear sister, when Harry Reid wanted to get federal judges on the bench, cloture was there. When the presiding officer said, I'm going to give you, in essence, what was said, not these exact words, the presiding officer said, this bill will have to pass by cloture that would give us this these judges. Harry Reid said, I appeal your ruling. Not with the intonations that I'm using. I appeal your ruling. Cloture requires that you get to 60 votes before you can pass something with 51. That's cloture. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get to 60. Harry Reid said, I appeal your ruling. And what happened? We got more than 51 votes when the ruling was appealed. It only takes 51 votes to break cloture.
Yeah.
When we had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, we had 50 senators, and we had the vice president to break the tie. If we had broken cloture, we could have done all of those things. All of our hopes and dreams resided on the Senate breaking cloture and doing what they now do for Supreme Court justices. We put people on the Supreme Court because we break with the cloture rule that is just a fiction of the Senate. We break with that and we put these people on the court. So now, but I gotta just say one more thing, just sister. Listen. They say cinema.
Yes. Yes.
They say mansion. Those were the two who did not follow through. Now, that was the root cause of it. Two senators who held up our agenda. And by the way, they held up the agenda of labor because we promised labor that they would get the PRO Act to protect our right to organize act. You know, they didn't help the LGBTQ community because we could have passed the Equality Act if we had just broken cloture. But here's the thing. If they had put the pressure on them that I've seen them put on some others, they could have changed their minds. They weren't coming back. They could have changed their minds. Look, I'm not going to tell you this is what happens. But in an imaginary world, they say, look, what do you want? What do you want?
And Biden would have leaned in a little bit more on mansion and cinema. We just had this conversation with Michael Steele this week. We just had this conversation.
Don't blame Black people for what happened. Listen to me now. This is important. If you have two national banks, one is called the Democratic National Bank and the other is called the Republican National Bank. If you put your deposits in the Democratic National Bank, you expect your returns on your deposit from the Democratic National Bank. If the Republican National Bank does something for you, it's a bonus and you'll appreciate it and you'll take it. They're doing the righteous thing. But you expect the Democratic National Bank to give you a return on your investment. More than 90% of Black people consistently vote Democratic. More than 90%, probably closer to 95%. That's what we do. So don't blame us for saying to you, you did not deliver for us. Now you're going to blame me. Black people have every reason to say, I'm disappointed with this system. That's why I tell people I'm a liberated Democrat. I am. I am liberated, unbought, unbossed, unafraid. And I, if there's something better than the Democratic Party, I'd be that. It's just
come on, Charlie Chisholm.
All I have. So I take
Charlie Chisholm.
Well, Congressman, as we go, since you said that, are your colleagues now, I mean, you're standing up, are your colleagues giving us a return on? Some people think they're awful quiet. I mean, what do you have to say about your colleagues right now?
Well, I would just simply say this. There are many ways to get to Houston from here. I choose the most direct route.
Okay.
Jump on the plane and fly. Some people go by bus. You know, some people go by train. But we're all going to the same place.
Okay.
At the same time. But we're going to the same place.
Well, let me say this. People are very excited to watch. You have Maxwell Frost and Maxine Waters up at the Department of Education today. Over at Treasury, you had Ayanna Pressley, Jasmine Crockett, Maxine Waters. You had a whole bunch of people. If people are liking to see this fight back, this protest, where will it go? What will it do? Is left to be seen. But what I'm going to say to you is, I appreciate you today. We're going to keep following you. We're going to follow your Houston-based impeachment protest. And we're going to follow you along the way as you begin to file, begin to look at and you're studying impeachment of Donald Trump this time in the second term. It's like 20 days in, 20, 21 days in, and you're already talking impeachment. And you're saying it's not too early, but you got 4 years to do it. So we'll see when this happens. I want to thank you, Congressman. You've always been responsive. You've always been there for us. And we thank you for joining us today. We really do. This has been, I mean, I'm like, you talk about chains. The only chains I wear are the chains around my neck that my husband bought. That's it. So anyway, we're not going into any chains like
we're
that.
We're not going back.
We're not going back.
Congressman Al Green from the 9th Congressional District in Houston, a long legacy there. My brother, always good to see you, Doctor.
Thank you, sir. Thank you both. Love you both.
Love you too, man.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.